Our scripture reading is taken from the book of John, the gospel according to St. John, chapter number 16, verses 25 to 33. The gospel according to St. John, chapter number 16, verses 25 to 33. May all God's people pay attention to his words. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I'm leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I'm not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. All men are like grass, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we now come to your word. We pray, O Lord, may the meditation of our hearts and the words of my mouth be acceptable before you, our God and Redeemer, in Christ Jesus. Amen. Our text this evening is verse 33. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. One preacher once said that wherever you go, you find three types of people. The first type of people are those who are passing through trials, afflictions, hardships, or suffering. The second group of people are those who are just coming out of hardships, trials, or afflictions. And the third group of people are those who are just going into trials, hardships, or afflictions. We are all familiar with hardships. We are all familiar with afflictions and trials in our lives. And in the passage that we've read, Jesus Christ is addressing us. He's speaking to his disciples and us about trials. And this evening, with the help of the Lord, I would like us to reflect on our text under the title, Take Heart, Christ Has Overcome the World. Take Heart, Christ Has Overcome the World. And we are going to look at 3 points. First, afflictions are unavoidable. Secondly, peace is available. And finally, victory is inevitable. First, afflictions are unavoidable. Jesus Christ is speaking to his disciples here. He's about to go to the cross to be crucified. And these are his last words to his disciples. And he tells them, say, in this world, you will have tribulation. And of course, the word used for tribulation here mainly has to do with persecution. Jesus Christ is telling his disciples that you'll be persecuted in this world for following me. But also we can extend tribulation to mean trials, afflictions, and hardships that we Christians experience as part of our faith in Christ. So Jesus Christ is saying, in this world, you will have tribulation. Jesus Christ is not saying, well, maybe, or perhaps you have tribulation. Jesus Christ is pointing out to say, for sure, it is unavoidable, you will have tribulations. Friends, afflictions and trials will surely come into our life. If you have not experienced them, they are coming. Sooner or later, we experience them. But you know, some people are surprised and they wonder, why should Christians experience trials and afflictions in their lives? If they are following God who loves them, who cares for them, why should they experience trials? And we can even ask, why is Jesus Christ saying, in this world you have tribulation? You know, of course, Christ is not telling us the actual reasons why we experience tribulation, persecution, hardships, afflictions, and suffering in this world. But when we search the scriptures, we find a number of reasons why you and me, we experience afflictions in our lives. Just to look at three of them. The first one is that we experience afflictions, trials, and hardships in our lives because of sin. Because of sin in the world. When you go back to the creation, Genesis 1 and 2, you find that God has created the world and everything in the world, and God says everything is very good. And then you come to Genesis 3, sin enters the world, and as sin enters the world, it brings pain, sorrow, suffering, and death. And that, friends, marked the beginning of our trials, of our afflictions, of hardships, of suffering, of persecution in the world. When sin came, it also brought suffering. And you know, some people, they wonder, they look at man, they see that man is very good. And they ask the question, why do bad things happen to good people? They look at you and me and think that we are good people and bad things are happening to us. But friends, we need to wonder, why do good things happen to us anyway? Because we have sinned against God, rebelled against Him. And by rejecting God and going on away, we have brought sin into the world. And as you have brought sin into the world, you have also brought suffering into the world. And we should be surprised that God should show us grace in any way. That should surprise us. Not why do bad things happen to good people? Because none of us is good. So we see that because of sin, suffering has entered the world. As God comes to man after he has sinned him and God brings judgment upon him, this is what God says to the woman in Genesis 3:16, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. So we see pain coming as well because of sin. And to man God says, cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face, you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. Because of sin, suffering has entered the world. But also, we experience afflictions and hardships and trials in our lives. Secondly, because of the enmity that exists between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. You know, when sin entered the world and God came in judgment upon our first parents and upon the serpent, God established enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And in Genesis 3:15, he says, I'll put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and he shall bruise his heel. And we see it from Genesis right away throughout the scriptures. We find that there are two seeds always fighting. The seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. You find right away Cain versus Abel. Cain kills his brother Abel. And again you find Esau versus Jacob. You find Israel versus Egypt. And it runs throughout the scriptures until the New Testament. It reaches the climax. Jesus Christ comes on the scene and the evil one pursues Christ to destroy him. And Christ goes on the cross. That's the climax. Or the warfare going on between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And as Christ dies on the cross, he declares it is finished. And on the third day, he rose again, declaring victory. But still, this goes on, friends. The seed of the woman still fights. He has been defeated, but he still tries to say, maybe I win this time. That's why Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 6 that, friends, we are at war. It's not a physical war, it's a spiritual war. We are fighting against powers and prosperities in the air. And as we are fighting this battle, we experience hardships and trials. There are casualties in this warfare. There are wounds that we get in this warfare. That's why Christ says, in this world, you will have tribulation. But also, the other reason, the last reason that we can look at this evening is that we experience hardships and trials because God uses these to sanctify our faith, to strengthen our faith. Apostle James puts it well in James chapter number 1, verse 2 and 3. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. God uses trials to purify our faith, to strengthen our faith. This is why Jesus Christ says, in this world, you will have tribulation. And one commentator, Robert Johnson, commenting on James 1, 2, and 3, says, the heart of man, brethren, is deceitful above all things. And even the Christian knows very little of himself. Affliction lays down a blazing torch for him into the depths of his own nature. And he sees many things which he little expected to see. He finds his faith weak where he thought it strong. His views dim where he thought them clear. His pride strong and stubborn where he thought it broken. And he cries to his Father for a fuller sanctification. Thus afflictions of every kind are trials, testing, and revealing agencies. Through them, the Master himself, all-knowing, tries us as gold and silver are tried by fire. So Christ says, in this world you experience tribulation because tribulations, afflictions, and trials, God uses them to strengthen our faith, to purify our faith, to build our faith so that we'll grow strong in our faith. But also Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, to say that God uses sufferings and trials in our lives so that after we have passed through those trials, we can comfort others as well as they pass through trials. This is why Jesus Christ says, in this world, you will have tribulations. So friends, I will not be a faithful preacher of the gospel if I stand before you and say that if you're in Christ, everything will go well, as some say. That is not true. It is good news, though, to tell you that in Christ, as long as you're in Christ and you live in this world, you will face tribulation. You face various kinds of trials. But Jesus Christ does not end there. Christ goes on to say, he is not only telling us that we have tribulation in this world, he goes on to say, peace is available. Peace is available. You look at the verse again, I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. Yes, for sure, in this world you have tribulations. You experience various kinds of trials. But there is peace available in Christ Jesus. And he says, in this world you will have tribulation, but in me you will have peace. So in Christ is our peace. And this is why the hymn writer wrote, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. So Christ tells us that in me you have peace. So we notice first the source of this peace. It is Jesus Christ himself. In this world you have tribulation, but in me you have peace. The world today is looking for peace. And unfortunately, the peace that the world can give us is temporal. It will not last forever. The peace of this world cannot remove away your trials, the pain of your trials. It is only the peace of Christ that that can sustain you through trials. That's why Christ says, in me you might have peace. So the world will tell us, oh, when you experience difficulties, do this and this. Friends, you do not help. You do not help. True peace is found in Jesus Christ. So if you and me are experiencing difficulties, we need to lift our eyes to Jesus and ask him to grant us his peace that will carry us through our trials. Jesus Christ himself speaking, John 14, verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you, not as the world gives. Give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Friends, there is peace in Christ. In the midst of our afflictions, in the midst of troubles in this world, we can turn to Christ and find peace that this world can never give us. This is why Christ is called the Prince of Peace, because his peace is true and genuine and long-lasting. But also, secondly, we notice the nature of this peace. The nature of this peace is that this peace is available in the midst of tribulation. Christ is saying, yes, as you are passing through tribulation, you have this peace. And again, we see that this peace is different because the world defines peace when everything is calm, when everything is quiet, when everything is going on well, we say we have peace. But Christ says, no, my peace, you have it even in the midst of storms. Even if the whole world around you is shaking, you can have this peace. It's very unique peace. And when Christ says this, children, I'm reminded of what my teacher taught me about two different types of animals. Animals are grouped into two. As children, you might remember that they are warm-blooded and cold-blooded animals. And cold-blooded animals, their body temperature, it always depends on their environment. So if they're in a cold place, their body temperature goes down. If they're in a warmer place, their body temperature goes up. But warm-blooded animals, they maintain their body temperature always. Whether they're in a cold place or in a warmer place, they maintain their body temperature. And Christians are like warm-blooded animals. Their peace does not depend on their circumstances. Whether things are going on well, whether things are not going on well, they still have peace. Their peace is constant. They still experience this joy and peace because Christ himself is their peace. This is why the hymn writer said, though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ have regarded my helpless estate and have shed his own blood for my soul. Therefore, it is well with my soul. Friends, you can only say that in the midst of tribulation if you have Christ. Nobody without Christ can say that it is well with my soul in the midst of affliction, because it is not well. But only those in Christ can say it is well. And this is why Apostle Paul, writing in Romans 5, verse 1, he tells us that we have peace with God through justification that comes to us through Jesus Christ. And just as our justification cannot change, once God has declared us just, righteous, we remain righteous forever. So is this peace that he gives to us. Because Apostle Paul in Romans 5, verse 1 tells us his justification comes with this peace. If he gives us his justification, we have this peace. And his justification will not change, this peace will not change. And that's my question, friend. Have you experienced this justification? Have you experienced this state of being declared righteous before the throne of God? Not because of what you've done, but because of what Christ has done for his people. And you might be trying to look for peace. You'll never find this peace until God has declared you righteous in Christ. So I pray for you, my friend. If you do not know Christ, this evening is a good time as you hear the gospel being preached, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you be served. You cannot manage to carry those burdens on your own. But also, even if you can persevere with those burdens, the end is even worse than the burdens you are carrying right now. And Christ calls you, come to me. Come and experience true peace. Peace not only in this life, but even in the life to come. So that you can say that your comfort is that I'm not my own, but belong with body and soul, both in life and death, to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from all the power of the devil. It's only those who can say this, because they have indeed experienced this peace of Christ, that Christ is speaking to them. My peace is available. But Christ does not stop there either. He goes again. He has told us in this world we have tribulation. And he says his peace is available. And finally he tells us, victory is inevitable. Victory is inevitable. Again, look at the verse. Christ says, I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. It's amazing that Christ is speaking these words before he goes to the cross. To him, victory is for sure. For him, victory is certain. He doesn't wait to go on the cross and then say, finally, I have victory. He has victory. And he tells us, take heart, be courageous. I have overcome the world. Yes, you have tribulations, but do not lose heart, because Christ has overcome the world. The victory of Christ is the one that will sustain us through trials and tribulation. His victory is our motivation to remain faithful under trials, because no single trial will come our way that Christ cannot defeat. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us he weighs everything first before it comes our way to make sure that we'll be able to endure and persevere. No single power, no single force in this world can just force itself into our lives. No. Christ is the King. Christ is the Lord. He sits on the throne and he controls all the affairs of this world. Even those trials that will come into our lives, he controls them. That's why Christ says, I have overcome the world. That's why you can say with Apostle Paul, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And how does Christ overcome the world? There are so many ways that Christ has overcome the world. This evening we just look at three of them. First, Christ has overcome sin. That sin that brought misery and pain and death into the world, Christ has overcome that sin. And in him, we have victory. This is why Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 56 and 57, he says, the sting of death is sin, but thanks be to God who gives us victory through Jesus Christ. Therefore, sin shall not rule in our lives, friends. We do not have an excuse to let sin ruin our lives. We do not have an excuse for us not to pursue holiness, because Christ has overcome sin. Oh, bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. That's what Christ has done for us. He has nailed that sin to the cross, so that you and me can walk in righteousness. And is this you, my friend? What reason do you have for walking in sin? For not believing in Christ? Christ has overcome the world. He has overcome sin. But also Christ has overcome certain. That war that was declared in the garden the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. In Christ, it reaches climax and Christ defeats the evil one. The seed of the woman or the serpent has been crushed. Christ has broken the chains of the evil one. Satan is bound and cannot deceive people anymore. The temptation that he will bring into people's lives are allowed by the Father. But you know, sometimes when we say that Satan is defeated, sometimes we wonder, is he really defeated? Just in the past year, we've heard stories of our fellow Christians, brothers and sisters, being killed for their faith. ISIS has been one of the threats for many Christians. And you look at ISIS and you wonder, has Christ really overcome the world? Yes, friends, Christ has overcome the world. Even the enemies of Christ are defeated. You know, when we look at these things happening, it's like we are watching a replay. I like to watch football or soccer. And sometimes if I'm not able to watch soccer, like the game that I love, it is recorded and usually I would come to watch a replay of that game. And usually I know the results already. That's why I can watch that and I know that my team has won. So I sit relaxed watching that game. And though the other team seems like it's pressurizing, seems like it's going to win, I do not panic. Because I know already that my team won the game. So this is what is happening in the world today, friends. You are watching a replay. We already know who a victor is. Christ has overcome the world. Victory belongs to Christ. No matter how the evil one seems to be prevailing, he is a defeated foe. Christ has overcome the world. And finally, Christ has overcome death. Death, the greatest enemy, sin brought death. Christ has overcome the death. And Apostle Paul says, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Friends, has death been defeated in your life? Are you going to live forever because Christ has defeated death? Or you're not so sure if death is to come tonight, will you say, you are defeated? My Lord and Savior has defeated you. Or will you be afraid? Christ has overcome death, that in him we might have life. And he's calling to all those people who have not experienced this life and say, come, that you might have life, true life, abundant life. So friends, Christ here tells us that in this world we shall have tribulation for sure, but his peace is available and his victory is inevitable. Therefore, as we go into the world, let's expect to meet trials, afflictions and trials, but also let's remember peace is available in Christ, and victory is inevitable in him. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your words. We thank you for speaking to us. And we thank you for the victory that we have in Christ. And we pray for our friends who might be here, but they do not know you. They have not experienced this peace. They do not know this peace. They don't even know the victory that Christ you've gotten for your people. We pray for them that, Lord, may you open their eyes, Holy Spirit convict them of their sin, and help them to repent and to believe in Christ for their salvation. For those of us who by your mercy and grace you have saved us, and we know that this peace is ours and victory is ours, encourage us in our daily walk with you to be grounded in these truths. For your own glory in Jesus' name, amen.